Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is an auspicious day too, 16th of May 2021, which is a day where people celebrate Teachers' Day. So first of all, I'd like to thank all Kayamitas for the sincere and beautiful greetings, and also the you call the bouquet of flower from all Kayamitas to my house this morning. My wife received it this morning. So my daughter actually yesterday hinted. So I heard about it, but I don't know what it is until when it appeared this morning. So anyway, thank you so much, for the sincere greeting. So in return, I'd like to also make use of today, this opportunity to wish all teachers, a happy and meaningful Teachers' Day too. Hope you have your blessings, and a lot of well wishes and greetings from your students too. So personally for me, I also wish to wish all my primary school teachers, secondary school teachers, university lecturers, and all those who have taught me in one way or other, including my parents, and whoever who had shared in whatever understanding they had to this nature of mine. I would like to wish them a peaceful, happy, and good, meaningful Teachers' Day. Okay, just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we will start the class. Today we will be starting with a new book. The title of the book is The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, the brown copy. So this book is quite special. So I'd like to share this today, and it so happened it coincides with Teachers' Day. So these are beautiful essential Dhamma taught by Lord Buddha, and it's also very relevant. So hopefully we can go through it, and it's like a revision to you all. This book is based on a direct transcript from the recording done during the Dhamma talk that I delivered while we are having this house dana in Klang at the late brother Sia and sister Nancy's house. It was in the year 2015, about 6 years ago. So I will read through the preface, followed by the acknowledgement, then the introduction, followed by the Dhamma sharing proper. So the main sharing are listed on the content page. It teaches you the importance of dana, sila, and bhavana. Mainly is sila. Sila is morality or virtue. Why sila is very important, and why without sila there is no samadhi, and without sila and samadhi there is no wisdom, panya. Then basically it is from sila, samadhi, you develop what we call heedfulness. So heedfulness and heedlessness, we have to understand these two words are very important. The Buddha's advice is, before his passing away, he says, strive on with heedfulness. strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless. For heedfulness is the path to the death, and the heathens are as if dead. So if you want to really be a human being, able to have the understanding to truly live blind, do not be heedless. Determine to be heedful, otherwise you will be as if dead. You don't stand a chance in understanding the spiritual teaching. You don't have the ability to understand life. The heedless are as if dead means spiritually you are like dead, even though you may exist as a human being. You may go through life, you may go through existence. But according to the Buddha, if you are heedless, if you don't train yourself to be heedful, then you are as if spiritually dead. You don't stand a chance in understanding spiritual teachings. So to develop mindfulness is also very important. So in order to be heedful, you have to train your mind initially to be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is mainly Noble Eightfold Path. You combine them together, it becomes heedfulness. Then section 3 is question and answer. So there are some good questions asked, then I reply them. So within the Q&A, I also explain the four right effort, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, and the 12 link, the law of mind, citta niyama. That is based on question 1 by Brother Danny. Then we have question 2 by Brother Yap, question 3 by Sister Ingi, followed by another question by Sister Ingi. And after that we end, we have the closing puja and the transfer of merits. So this is roughly the content that we are going through. So now we move on to the next page, which is the preface. It is Brother Teo's sincere hope and intent that Dharma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of these enclosed transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the essential Dharma as taught by Lord Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dharma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. As these notes were mostly compiled based on direct transcripts from recordings of a Dhamma sharing done, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. It is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading this transcript note. To listen to the recording, you can download the talk at the link Mr. Teosia 2016 15 MP3. The link is as shown in blue. Now, alternatively, if you have problem, you can contact Brother Suyan at the email down there. We also have a website. So, based on the website, the website came out later. So, based on the website, and the website only came out in the year 2017, if I'm not wrong. So you can Google brotherteoh.com, brotteoh.com. Then the whole website of our My Kayamita website will come out. Then you click on the menu The menu will have all the listing of all the topics. You can read about it. Then it also have our publication. It also have our what they call audio file, video file, our activity, and also a description of what our website is all about, our sincere intent, and purpose of establishing this My Kayamita website. If you read through, it will help you understand many, many things. And this website is full of very important dhammas. It's a wealth of what we call a repository of beautiful sharings and dhammas. Do you want to understand the true teachings of the Buddha Dharma? These are the website that you should actually Google and learn more. So to get a copy of the ebook, you can also go to the website based on the dates and the classification. You should be able to locate it. So now I will move on to the next page, acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this transcript note be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dharma friends of Kayamita who had donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Nancy for having personally taken the great initiative to develop her draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all sentient beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, free from all harms and dangers. And may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who had donated or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations as soon as possible. Okay, so with this, we will go into the Dhamma sharing proper. The title is The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, and this is a result of a direct transcript from the recordings of Brother Teo's Dhamma sharing held at Brother Sia, the late Brother Sia, and Sister Nancy's house Dana, dated 20th June 2015. So, introduction. Just relax yourself. Get yourself seated and maintain some form of Saddha. Saddha is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to learn this teaching, and attentiveness. Attentiveness is silent awareness. When you are attentive without thought, you are just silent and just aware. And that's how you learn. That's how you listen to lectures, teachings, and other things. So attentiveness is very important. You are attentive means you are not sleepy. You are not heedless. You are not lost in thought. So to be attentive, to pay attention is very important. Attentiveness without thought is the silent awareness before the arising of thought process or arising of any knowing. And this is what we call sati or mindfulness. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already in sati. So always remember that. Be attentive without thought, and you are already in sati. That is what mindfulness is all about. So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is true listening, or what we call the art of listening. When you listen without thought means without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your memory or knowledge, your views or your opinion. That is the silent mind listening. You just listen with an open mind. Then whatever you listen, you can absorb very clearly. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand, but you will not prejudge what you hear. So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind more and more and be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware in sati or mindful. That's how you meditate. That's how you learn. That's how you train yourself. So today, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to once again thank the host, the late Pradesia, Sister Nancy, and family for hosting this wonderful house dana for us to have the condition to come together and partake in all this wholesomeness. And together, we can also have this rather meaningful gathering of Kayamita, come fellowship. So shall we rejoice together? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after that, we start the formal Dhamma sharing, Dhamma sharing by Brother Theo. The first section 2.1 is on precepts and virtue, or sila, morality. This is a very important essential Dhamma that all Buddhists or Dhamma friends should actually understand. Because sila or precepts and virtue is very important. It's our moral values, our moral principles, born of understanding, born of having right view. Okay, I'll read to you that they sharing. I'd like to thank all Kayamita who can make it to be here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can learn to develop more of these good mind states, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtues are your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your whatever good mind states. They constitute wholesomeness of mind. A person who can keep his precept has virtue, where he or she will have no negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you have no negative thought. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill, you cannot cause harm, and you cannot deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate wrong speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants that will make your consciousness low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precept or cultivating virtue is the source of true happiness, true spiritual wealth, and true spiritual peacefulness of mind. The monks will chant this in Pali for you to understand after they have administered the five precepts to you. They will chant, Imani Panchasika Padani. The translation is, these are the five precepts. Then he said, this five precepts has this special characteristic. He said, you keep the five precepts. Silena sukantinyanti. You will have this virtue. So this virtue, if you keep your precepts, sukantinyanti means it's the source of true happiness. Sukang is happiness. Sukantinyanti means true happiness. Then the second benefit of keeping precept is silena bhoga sampada. Virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. So not only you receive true happiness when you keep your precept, you also will receive true spiritual wealth, because when you keep your precept, it's like you wear a mask. You protect yourself, you protect others. And through doing that, you are very virtuous. You are incapable of negativity. Means you don't harm yourself, you don't harm others. Then the last benefit is silena nibunting yanti. This one is very important. Virtue is a source of true peacefulness of mind. Then the final stanza is tasma silang viso de. Therefore, let virtue be purified. So this is the reason why you must keep your sila, your precept, to maintain your virtue. Then I read on, you listen, this is very important. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of happiness and a lot of joy within you. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others. When you are able to witness them doing all this goodness or wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying sadhu. You can rejoice in other people's generosity too, their sincerity and faith, seeing how they have prepared and offered all these offerings during house dana. All this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because for cultivators who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure wish. And in return, all those who have partaken in the dana offering will also receive all these merits. Just like the monks, you support them, they support you back in kind, in the form of Dhamma sharing via the understanding. They will rejoice. They will help you invoke the appropriate pure wish. Then they will also chant for your blessings and teach you the Dhamma. By doing so, in return, you receive spiritual wealth, because Dhamma teaching is spiritual wealth. Then rejoicing is a type of virtue, which is very important. Also one of the 10 meritorious actions. Then when they help you invoke your power of merits to arise the pure wish for wholesomeness, it also gives rise to spiritual wealth. So that is the reason why the Buddha says sila or virtue is not only the source of true happiness, it's also the source of great spiritual wealth. So now you can understand. Maybe the true happiness part, I will elaborate on it a bit more. When you keep your precept or sila, there is a type of very special virtue in you. There is a virtuous spiritual light that will shine forth. Because in the early days, when people asked the Buddha, what is the highest protection for humanity or living being? The answer from the Buddha actually surprised a lot of people who are not spiritual practitioner, who are not cultivator of the Dhamma, who does not understand the Dhamma. The Buddha replied, he said, virtue is your highest protection. If you keep your virtue, if you keep your sila, it will protect you from negativity, from evil, because you reap what you sow. If you don't break your precept, there will be no coming negativity, and there will be no condition for you to suffer, to confront the friction of your wrong action or negativity of coming action. Then the other thing about virtue is, when you keep your precept, when you do not kill, you do not harm, you do not misappropriate things, you do not deceive and cheat people, you don't commit sexual misconduct, you don't tell lies, you don't arise all the inappropriate wrong speeches, then you don't partake intoxicant or drugs or alcohol or whatever that can bring about low level of consciousness that can make you heedless, then automatically you will come to realize your life is so much more peaceful. When you keep your sila, you will do not have to face even society's law, like police case and all those things. You don't steal, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't misappropriate things, you don't cause misunderstanding. You have virtue, you keep your precept, and you don't partake intoxicant to make you heedless. Such a being is so much more peaceful than a person who can't keep his or her precepts. What will happen if you start to kill people, harm people, misappropriate things, steal from people, or deceive people, cheat people? Then the worst is to cheat on your own spouse. You commit all the sexual misconduct. Then you lie, you cheat, you backbite, you create all the full range of inappropriate wrong speeches. Then when you partake intoxicant, it becomes worse. Your life becomes very, very messy. You will land yourself into a lot of situation, a lot of trouble. So, living beings who don't keep their precept is never peaceful. That's why precept is the source of peacefulness of mind. That's the reason why we must keep our precept. And precept is most important. If you don't keep precept, your mind cannot settle down. You cannot have the peace. And when you cannot have the peace, how can you meditate? How can you develop samadhi? It's impossible. So all this, when you understand, you see the importance of keeping precepts, having virtue, holding on to your sila. If you hold on to your sila for a long enough period, you really cultivate it. There is a virtuous light that will shine forth, and it will protect you, because virtue is your highest protection. Then you don't have to worry about bad luck and all those things. You don't have to worry about how people wants to like cheat on you, or do all those funny things towards you or your family members. Because being virtuous will protect you and your family members. Yeah. So this is the message of the Buddha, the essential Dhamma that we have to understand. The first very important essential Dhamma is virtue, precepts, or sila. That's why the Buddha advises us to keep our precept, renew our precept. And sila not only protect, it's also one of the 10 meritorious actions. It makes you meritorious. There's a lot of wholesomeness. Then you can invoke power of merits for wholesomeness, for goodness, for certain things that you need to help you to go through life and to ease whatever situation you may have. So page 3, last paragraph, I read on. Spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, because it's not like materialistic wealth. Materialistic wealth, you can lose it. You may have it, but when the condition is to be, you may lose it. Whereas spiritual wealth cannot disappear. So spiritual wealth cannot be taken away. It's not like materialistic wealth that can disappear when condition is no more there, no more favorable. Kita pao.
Swing, swing.
There's a control button. Okay. Yeah, thanks. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within your spiritual nature. When you cultivate spiritual teachings and spiritual understanding, you will accumulate spiritual wealth within your spiritual nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Because spiritual wealth is a bit different from karmic nature's wholesomeness. The law of karma states that the moment we are born into this world, all living beings, we immediately are all born of our karma, heir to our karma condition, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. That's why karmic is immediate. Whereas spiritual is not immediate. When you have the condition to cultivate Dhamma, understand Dhamma, then you start to accumulate all this. Then when you come in whatever birth, for you to inherit your spiritual understanding, you need causes and conditions. And for you to really inherit your full perfection and understanding from your past, you need to connect to your true mind, your true nature. Unless you can connect to that true mind, that true nature, you cannot really inherit much of your spiritual understanding and spiritual nature. You can only inherit the part where there is this karmic. Whereas karmic nature also have condition for spiritual understanding, but it's from your karmic nature, which is more limited. But the spiritual understanding from your spiritual nature that you have accumulated when you understand what the Dhamma is and your cultivation have moved on is very different. So to inherit that, you need to develop the ability to meditate and connect to your true mind or true nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your sila, precepts or virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That's the reason why it is the source of true peacefulness, the serene, calm and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness and problem, because when you keep your precept, you don't harm people, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't deceive, and you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will have far fewer problems, less fear, less worry, and less anxiety, or what we call problems in life. You don't have to confront civil society's law like police case and all those crime-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. You don't have to worry about people coming after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. If you violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when negative karma ripens, they will condition you into a lot of suffering and misery, causing your mind to become restless. So all this lack of peace come from having life problem when you don't keep your precepts. That's the reason why there is no peace within, and you become heedless. We have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. They are all negative mind state with the evil roots. That's why these are mind states that heedless people arise. That's why it's called mental hindrance. But once you keep your precept, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why it's the source of true peacefulness of mind. True peacefulness can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. And that's why after cultivating sila, samadhi will kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. Your sila and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are. That's how you develop understanding, which is panya. Then we go on to the next topic. Sila, samadhi, and panya, these are three essential dhamma put together under one. Here it represents the Noble Eightfold Path. It also represents the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why you very often hear of this sila, samadhi, and panya. Sila is virtue or morality, or what we call precepts. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, mindfulness, and samadhi. And these are your true mind, your silent mind, very stable, collected and unwavering. And because of that, you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena and awaken to develop panya, which is wisdom. So I will read on. Hopefully you can develop better understanding. When you have sila and peace of mind, your mind states are more conducive for you to meditate. This is very obvious, isn't it? And because of that, you can develop samadhi. That's why you become peaceful, calm, because there is no more worry, no more fear, no more restlessness of mind, where you didn't violate the precept, you didn't cause anything wrong that can trigger all this so-called karmic-related problems, life problems. Then you will not have police case after you, enmity, or misunderstanding with other people, or you will not fear anything. So this is how sila and samadhi can be very useful. With sila comes samadhi, then with samadhi comes wisdom. Samadhi is composed of two Noble Eightfold Path factors. Samadhi cover both samasati and samasamadhi perfectus. And when sati is stabilized, it becomes samadhi. So sati and samadhi can allow you to see things as they are. That is why once you have sila, samadhi will follow. Then your mind can see things as they are to develop the wisdom. So this is very easy to understand. Hopefully, you can get all this understanding stabilized in your mind. Then you see the importance of keeping sila. Then you don't take it lightly anymore. Then you see the importance of cultivation. From sila, your mind become different. Samadhi can kick in. You can become mindful more easily because you don't have problem faced by people who break their precepts or sila. People who violate their precepts and sila has a lot of problems. They are heedless. They have a lot of karmic debts or problem to confront. That's why they lack the peaceful mind state. They will have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, leading to insecurity, sorrow, and lamentation. Then their mind project to develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety. So all this bring about the restlessness mind. The mind become restless, the lack of peace. So that's the reason why the Buddha also summarized Noble Eightfold Path as Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Panya is wisdom leading to right view and right understanding of life. That's the reason why Noble Eightfold Path, first path factor is Samadhi or right view or right understanding. So when you develop right view, you can straighten your view. Then you will have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood or right living, and all the four right effort. And this is what morality or sila is all about. So all these power factor of right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood or right living, and the four right effort, they constitute the section on morality. So sila is about developing virtue. Oh, sorry, I missed out one sentence. And this is what sila or morality is all about. So sila is about developing virtue. Yeah, your right speech, right action, and right thought. That's how it fit into the Noble Eightfold Path. And it arises because of right view. Without right view, you can never cultivate right thought, right speech, and right action. Because Noble Eightfold Path is such. When the first path factor of right view is not there, the whole Noble Eightfold Path factor falls apart. If you don't have right view, you will have wrong view. Then wrong view will condition wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. It's very obvious. That's why in cultivation, we start with right view. After that, your samadhi path factor, which is inclusive of sati, will take off to a new level of clear understanding, leading to a more stable right view. Then you will know how to meditate better. Then your sati will become more refined. It will lead to more understanding, more clarity of mind, and more silent within. This is how you progress. So this paragraph is very important. I read again. Hopefully, you can develop the understanding. After you have started cultivating right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living or livelihood, and the four right effort, then your understanding will become better. Then all this can bring forth better understanding. That's why I wrote here in the sharing that day. After that, your samadhi path factor, which is inclusive of sati, means sati and samadhi, your mind become more calm, more peaceful, more tranquil, more quiet. So when samadhi kick in, then when you cultivate the path factor of right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and the four right effort, including right livelihood, means you know how to live your life in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path, then you will start to develop a new level of understanding. clear understanding, leading to a more stable right view. Initially is to give you the faith that you live life this way, your good karma will surface. You will have less and less karmic negativity because a person who keeps the precept is following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. In fact, the five precepts is good enough. Then when you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the first few path factor, that is what do good is all about. So the second advice of the Buddha is also being cultivated. And when you start to cultivate this right speech, right thought, right action, right living, livelihood, and the four right effort, then you start to understand how you can purify your mind through the four right effort, how you can develop right thought, right speech, right action, how you can develop mindfulness to see all this clearly. So when that understanding manifests, then you will know how to meditate better. Because without this understanding, you don't go through all this. You can never really understand the real meditation. That's why I said cultivating meditation is cultivating the full range of practice or cultivation from the three turnings of the Four Noble Truth, which constitute constantly listening to the true Dhamma. Then second turning, constant contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. Then the third turning is go into the cultivation itself, means putting the Dhamma into practice, doing the meditative training, silence your mind, purify your mind, to insight into the phenomenon, to awaken. So this is how the whole process of cultivation is to be understood and developed. Then your sati will become more refined, leading to a more stable samadhi. Then it will lead to more understanding, more clarity of mind, and your mind will have more and more of these moments of space between thought, which we call quietness, tranquility, stillness. That's how peacefulness of mind comes in. So when you are mindful and aware, there is no thought. There is space between thought. When there is space, there is clarity. When there is clarity, you can see things as they are. You can awaken. You can insight into phenomena. This is how cultivation can bring forth the understanding, the wisdom. So a lot of cultivators does not understand all this. They read up a lot of Dhamma words, which become Dhamma knowledge theory. But the whole understanding of the essential Dhamma that leads to cultivation in real life has not been understood. That's why they don't see the importance of cultivating sila, and they cannot understand why you must have sila before real samadhi kick in, and how samadhi combined with Noble Eightfold Path factor lead to the understanding of the advice of the Buddha, avoiding all evil, cultivate goodness, and lead to the final purification of mind through sati and samadhi. So this training, this process, this understanding is not clearly understood. That's why cultivator of the way cannot progress, is because of that. They learn too much theory, too much knowledge. And through knowledge, they believe they have the understanding. You can check for yourself. When you go out into life, if you really have the Dhamma, you will become different. But if you don't have the true Dhamma, if it's only Dhamma knowledge, it does not help you. Yeah, you can still have fear, worry, anxiety. You can still stir your mind. You can still become heedless, You are hardly mindful throughout the day. Your sati is not stable. You don't have samadhi. You are heedless most of the time, lost in thought, worrying about life, complaining about life. So this is how you should understand the essential Dhamma, the teaching, and transform yourself, cultivate accordingly with proper understanding. Meditation should be developed with understanding. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So today's sharing is very useful. Hopefully it's a clear reminder to all Dhamma practitioners and Dhamma friends. So do not underestimate the importance of sila or sati. Sila or precepts. Without sila, it's very difficult to go into meditation, which is samadhi. And without samadhi, wisdom can never arise. You will then come to realize that the whole teaching is indeed very simple. And the essential Dhamma are spin-off from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths. And they are all related, interconnected. And they are connected to your daily life. Apart from sila, samadhi, and panya, you also need to develop the understanding of another very important essential Dhamma. The whole of the Buddha's teaching points towards only one quality of mind, heedfulness. Before he passed away, he advised the monk to strive on with heedfulness. That's why he said, apamadena sampadeta, strive on with heedfulness. The reason why you need to be heedful is because according to Lord Buddha, if you are not heedful, you are as if dead. If you are not ever mindful to cultivate this meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, then your mind will become heedless because it lacks the spiritual faculties of mindfulness. Hence, you will not have the ability to understand his spiritual teaching, for it lacks the spiritual faculties of sati and samadhi. Then the next section is heedfulness and heedlessness. So heedfulness is key to spiritual cultivation. And you have to understand what heedfulness is. To be heedful, the Buddha has defined it very clearly under Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one will realize the supreme bodhi nibbana, which is the enlightenment. So you must train your mind not only to be mindful, but to be ever mindful. It means throughout the day, you must learn how to slow down your thinking, decondition your heedless thinking through whatever skillful means that you may have developed. Then learn to be silent more and more, more and more, so that you are constantly aware and heedful, so that you can transform the way you live your life from a heedless way to a new way of heedful living. Heedless means you are totally not aware. Then when you are not aware, you can never be mindful. If you are not mindful, how can you be ever mindful? So this is very obvious. Yeah? If you do not have this ability to be ever mindful, you cannot cultivate the real Noble Eightfold Path as taught by Lord Buddha. That's why in the Avijaya Sutta, you can also see step 5. Sati Sampajana. Without that step 5, you cannot cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, the real Noble Eightfold Path. So it's very clear. Huh? It is as simple as that. That's why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. If you don't have heedfulness, spiritually you are as if dead. So no amount of thought-based meditation can free you. And this is a very important understanding. You have to train your mind to have more and more of this mindfulness or silence within. Only then your mind can become very quiet. You will then come to realize that you are now much more sensitive, and you can be aware of many things that you are not able to in the past. In the past, you think a lot. You are lost in thought. You are most of the time heedless, too worrying about life, too busy chattering, verbalizing, planning your life, worrying about life, complaining about life. That is heedless living. That is not life. That is suffering. That is misery. So remember that. Understand that. And change. Do not be heedless anymore. Develop more and more mindfulness. Sati. Silence your mind more and more. Develop more heedfulness. Less heedlessness. Okay, we go to the next section. 2.4. Mindfulness. Now, this one you must listen. This one is very important. Today, I will go deeper into this topic on mindfulness, where there was condition at that time. The silent mind without thought can feel very clearly. When you want to feel something, take for example the floor. If you are not silent, you cannot feel because there is no sensitivity. Just now, Sister Ingby was discussing with me on how she did the lying down meditation. Then she realized that this statement of mine is very true. If you are not silent, you cannot be sensitive. You cannot have mindfulness to feel and to be aware. That is why when she was silent, she could feel all the vibration within her body. She could even feel how the sensation and phenomena in her leg developed and how certain part of her brain responded. Then she could see how they are all connected. That is the part of the brain that is responsible for sensing that phenomenon. That's why I said you will understand yourself very clearly when you are aware and mindful. Because if you are not aware and you are not mindful, means you are lost in thought. You think a lot. You have become heedless because you worry. You complain. You stir your mind. You are not happy. A lot of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience arise within your mind state. And these are the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will. So when they are mental hindrances, they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and inner awareness. So how can you develop the meditation? It throughout the day, when you live your life, you are heedlessly reacting to life, creating mental hindrances, worrying about life, restless most of the time, the lack of peace. That is the reason why people cannot meditate, because the mental hindrances are too strong. When you are heedless, you develop a lot of mental hindrances. When you lack the opposite five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. That's the reason why a lot of living beings or human beings, they cannot meditate. That's why they need method and technique to anchor their mind, to do the training and all those things. But when you understand, you develop the spiritual faculty, you develop the mindfulness, the training, start with sila, leading to samadhi, then to initial wisdom, understanding. Then from there, you stabilize your cultivation to develop heedfulness. And from there, the whole of meditation will take off. With the spiritual faculty, with sati stabilize, meditation become very easy. You can silence your mind there and then. Because no more mental hindrance, the spiritual faculty has taken over. Sati has taken over. That's how you become peaceful. transform. That's how you develop mindfulness, stabilize it to become heedfulness. So this is the full understanding that you need to develop the training, the cultivation. Okay, we'll continue. Because today's sharing is very good, although it's a revision. So this is really suitable for Teacher's Day. When you eat certain food, the taste bud tastes, and which part of the brain is activated, you will also know it has sati, if you are mindful. Especially so, if you take curry or asam laksa, you will know from which part of the brain the shin lat in Cantonese, meaning sour and hot, taste bud consciousness originate and come from, and how you sweat, you will also know. Then you will also understand very clearly how you function as a human being. That's how sati can make you different, sensitive. The moment you are heedless, it means you think a lot. And most human beings' problems are like that because they are so habitual in their heedless thinking. The five mental hindrances are so powerful. That's why throughout the day, this heedless thinking or thoughts, which are very active, keep on arising ceaselessly. If you do not believe me, you can check for yourself throughout the day. You think a lot. Your thoughts proliferate and run far ahead of whatever you do when you are not with the moment in silent awareness, when you are not mindful. As you do things, you think. As you walk, you think. Even as you sleep, you also think. The subconscious movements are all over. But because you are heedless and you are never mindful, you cannot see them. You cannot see all this movement and you cannot understand. That's why you lack sensitivity. And that's also the reason why you tend to have this type of problem in life. Heedlessness leading to a lot of unnecessary life problem, situation and suffering in life. Because there is no clarity at all, there is no understanding. Your mind is always restless, in constant fear, and has a lot of worry, anxiety, so-called problems. Then you are attached to so many things. Everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, or you tactile feel, etc., appears so real to you. To you, they are like very real. Then you grasp, you cling, you accumulate, without knowing that these are all psychological memories that can bring about attachment, leading to suffering and misery in the future. So as you develop this understanding, as you silence your mind more and more until you are able to be mindful in the midst of your daily life, then your life becomes very different. You will start to have the ability to see many things. That's why now I can go deeper into this topic called sati or mindfulness. If you don't believe me, you can try out. When you are free, or even when you are here, like now, when I look outside, my awareness can be with all the phenomena outside. Because my mind is silent. The flow of nature, the movement of the trees, its leaves, its branches, and even your human activities, and all of the vibration within nature and everything else which is within the surrounding, my nature can become aware of them. And my mind is very sensitive because it is silent. Without thought, within. But if you think a lot and is preoccupied with all the thinking, the emotion, and respond to sense experience that is busy describing, reacting, and commenting, Catering, urbanizing. Then my nature cannot be with this phenomena, because that nature, the awareness within, can only be with the phenomena when it is silent. As man can only do one thing at a time, either you are silent within to be aware, or you are lost in thought, heedless. This awareness can be with all your physical, mental, and nature's phenomena or flows. Physical flow refers to your bodily physical activity, action, and movement. Mental flow refers to your mental movement, which are your sankhara activity or mental activity, mental states. Then nature's phenomena refer to nature's flow within nature. They can be movement of the trees, the plants, the moving cars, the vibration, and everything else that are within nature. Then even when everything is very quiet and very still, the essence of mind can still perceive the stillness or the silence within nature. The essence of mind can also perceive the mental phenomena. Mental phenomena are your mental moments, like the moments of feeling. Upon contact, the moment of perception, the moment of thinking, sankhara activity, and the moment of consciousness. All these are possible because you are silent. Hence, the mindfulness or awareness can be there, can be with it. You can understand what is going on in life because there is clarity when you are absolutely silent, just aware. Then you can see them very clearly. But if you are heedless, you think a lot, constantly lost in thought, you can never understand. You can never know because you cannot experience them. Things that you have not experienced, you cannot develop the understanding. That is the reason why the heedless are as if dead. That's why you don't train your mind to be heedful, to be more and more mindful and silent. There is no way you can penetrate the Dhamma. You can attend retreat to silence yourself and use an object of meditation to fix your mind, to go into concentration, to go into absorption. But because the setting under retreat condition are very conducive, you can become very calm and very peaceful. But all these are conditioned mind states. These are not something that can actually transform you and change you. Because to transform and change, you need wisdom, you need understanding. All these are part and parcel of the conditioned mind, the byproduct of a calm mind, which means calmness meditation, or what they call samatha bhavana or meditation. You may label it as vipassana because you slow everything down. You slow down your action, your movement, and you hardly think because the environment you are in is very conducive. Then you use your thought to labor, to note, and to be with those activities, thinking that by practicing all this, you are meditating and you are cultivating vipassana bhavana. To be honest, this is at least better than heedless thinking. But these are conditioned state because they are not natural free mind, natural mind state of a free mind. And that calmness that you develop is not the real sati or the meditative mind state, but it is just a conditioned state. You cannot develop real wisdom out of it. Where it is not a direct seeing via the silent mind. It is thought-based. It is still Dhamma knowledge in action. There is no penetrative understanding of the Dhamma. There is no penetration of Dhamma and understanding. Just like how I explained to Sister Ingby, I said when you silence the mind there, When you silence the mind, there is no word. And the mind that is silent will insight into and awaken to the phenomena. Then when it insight into the truth and the reality, it awakens. Then it can relate to the Dhamma. Then you straight away will understand what Dhamma is. You will have the true understanding. No more just words. The interpretation and not in accordance to what the book say anymore. The example I gave her is swimming. Not until the day you try until you experience that buoyancy. You will never understand what true buoyancy is, what swimming is. When you don't need the float to stay afloat, then you realize, hey, this is beautiful. What they say about the natural state of this body being lighter than water, its buoyancy is so true. If I don't deludedly panic, if I have faith and allow the body to initially sink first, then upon reaching equilibrium, the buoyancy force will push it up. Then the body will surface. Then to swim, I just move either my hand or my leg. Then swimming becomes like easy. I don't have to worry about me drowning or sinking. I don't have to struggle in the water. I can swim with understanding. Then I'm at peace. Then swimming becomes very easy and can be done very gracefully. No more splashing of water, no more panic movement or struggling to keep afloat. So when you experience that buoyancy and flotation, it's just like you experience your silent mind, the true mind. Then you realize, hey, the true mind without delusion is already naturally peaceful, still, silent, and meditative. I don't have to do anything to reach that state, just like swimming. Then what happened? Because you awaken to that state, you understand that mind is your true mind. Then the true mind can see things as they are, without word, without conditioning. But human beings' problem is you have a lot of memories. You have a lot of views, opinion, and conditioning. Before you can silence at every moment of seeing or sense experience or hearing or thinking, you interpret, react, and stir your mind. That's why you can never see things as they are. You can never understand too. Then you use your thought-based knowledge to link with the Dhamma and interpret. Oh, this is anicchang. Oh, sorry. Oh, is this anicchang, impermanent? Is this dukkang? Is this anatta? You cling on to all the Dhamma knowledge and the words. That is not the real meditation. That is thought-based meditation, which is knowledge-based and cannot liberate your mind. So you have to trust yourself. Understand that the true mind is to train our, understand that the true meditation is to train our mind to arise the first factor of enlightenment of sati. And when sati is developed and stabilized through puja, through bowing, through daily mindfulness, through kaya nupassana, the first three categories of practice, your mind will transform to become heedful. That's why after doing the mind supreme method to decondition the heedless thinking, you then stabilize it via anchoring it to a skillful means, either anapanasati or any other skillful means or method and technique that you are familiar with. Then you develop, then you continue to develop the silent mind until the mindfulness become very stable. Then go into daily life to cultivate mindfulness of the four postures, then mindfulness of all action and all movement in between the four postures, leading to sati sampajana, mindfulness with clear comprehension. If you do this, your mind will slow down. You don't slow down your action. Everything is still the same. You go into daily life, you still do everything the same, at the same pace. But because you are already heedful, more and more mindful and silent, that's why you are fully aware of whatever that is going on. And when you can stabilize that, you become beautiful. While cultivating the daily mindfulness, do not try to know. The moment you are in sati, you will know. Just like swimming, when you develop the training until you can float, you will know what buoyancy is, what flotation is. It is no more a theory. When you train your mind until your mind already enters sati, or your mind is already in sati, you will know. It's like any games or life activity that you are skillful at or familiar with, even like yoga, qigong practices, tai chi, or even cooking, badminton, and table tennis. When you are very skillful, you are no longer like before, rather clumsy. Skillful means every moment, movement, every action, you are very graceful, and you can do it spontaneously with no thought behind. It has become a part of you. You have become trained. You have already trained yourself so well. And everything you do is within the moment. That's why everything becomes very graceful. That is the trained mind. And when you are in that state, you are actually in sati. Mind has entered sati. You will come to realize that when you do all this and do not think anymore. When people ask you, how can you cook so well? How do you know how much salt is required? Where to get those ingredients, etc.? You will answer them through experience. Because you have the experience and you understand, hence you can do it. Even when playing any games, when you have developed the skill, you can actually decide how you want to play the game because you are so skillful. Just like when playing badminton, if you want to serve low, it will go low. If you want to serve to baseline, it will go back to baseline. Then how you want to return your shot, you can also decide. That means you have complete understanding of the game. You can decide where to place the shuttlecock because you are so skillful and you can move very fast spontaneously. That's why it is very effective. Then you can decide where you want to send the shuttlecock to. So your mind is the same. When you have trained it, it listens to you. If you want it to be silent, it will be silent. If you want it to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. If you want it to arise, to be aware, it will just do that, to be aware. If you want it to live life, it will just live life. The mind is like a tool for you to use to live life. It's not the other way around. The other way around is when you are heedless, the thought tell you a lot of things. They condition you into holding on to a lot of wrong views and opinions. Then all the habitual tendency that you have developed via your wrong thoughts, your wrong views, your opinion and conditioning will drive you to live a heedless life. That's how you become a slave to your own thoughts, to your own conditioning, to your own views and opinion. And you don't know how to live otherwise. That's why you become very predictable as you are heedless. You will have the habitual tendency of reacting and resisting all over again and again. That is the reason why no amount of meditation retreat can help you transform if you are heedless in your daily life. When you go for meditation retreat, you can become calmer, more peaceful, and you think you have progressed. But the moment you come out of it, and because in the daily life you have not trained yourself, you are never heedful. Then heedlessness take over, and within a week or a maximum of 2 weeks, you will be back to square one. Then you will come to realize you still have this fear in you. You still have this heedlessness in you. You still have those evil roots in you. They are not rooted out as yet, and your habitual tendencies are still there, very strong. What you will normally do is, you will try to use the Dharma knowledge to suppress and control them. We are saying, I don't want to get angry, because anger is an evil root. This is what most people do. But the real meditation is so different. The moment you understand through the silence, you will see the delusion and the foolishness of living that type of heedless life. And because the Buddha Dharma can stand up to investigation, you will come to realize that this is real heedlessness. The two states of mind are so different. Just like what I had already explained to you. Heedful living is so different, yet it is so beautiful. You will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peacefulness, a lot of silence and stillness. You can be with the moment without thought most of the time. No thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, and no suffering, no egoic mind, nothing. And you just live instead of worrying about life, where you have the understanding. Whereas heedless living or a heedless person, they are so agitated throughout the day, so restless, and they think and worry a lot due to their mental hindrance, especially their dualities of sensual desire and evil in the form of light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, and their reaction of mind to all of their sense experience. Then they worry a lot to the extent that they worry not only about themselves, but also about their loved ones, their wealth, their property, and their possession. Everything to them is like there is no security. They are so insecure. And the worry about their physical body getting old, getting sick, and dying one day. They fear death. Then apart from their wealth, apart from their health, they also worry about their career, their relationship with their loved ones and others. Then they will also worry about many other life-related issues. So they seem to be always chasing and running around, trying to escape from their own self-centered sorrow. We are firefighting and worrying about all these issues, not understanding that all these issues are the realities of life and existence as proclaimed by the Buddha under his first noble truth, the eight realities. They not only worry about their career, their property, their wealth, their business, their spouse and their children, but later on, they may even worry about their grandchildren, then their wealth and their future. All this can lead to a lot of suffering when you don't understand. And you will cling and grasp because you think this human form and mind, which is what you think are you, who you are, is real. That is why when you perceive it as real, you will perceive your loved one as real too, and all those possessions of yours as real too. So when the mind is deluded by all this, it is never peaceful. That's the reason why heedless living is full of suffering, full of restlessness, full of doubt and problem. So heedlessness actually brings about a lot of suffering and problem. That's the reason why heedlessness is the path to the dead. Spiritually, you are dead. So to have the spiritual life, you must train your mind to be heedful. And that is the key to understanding life. That is, you need to train your mind to be heedful. It is clearly explained in the blue transcript book titled Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. I think this book we have gone through, part one, part two. So you only need to start from there. Okay, we stop here. The next topic is training the mind to be heedful, 2.5. Oh, okay, 4:30. So maybe we can have, today we cut short the meditation. Half an hour will be enough because we need more time for second session. Okay, we will off the light now. Then you can relax body and mind, silence everything, and develop the awareness-based meditation. We will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Training the mind to be heedful. Okay. Page 17, for those who have the books. So how do we train the mind to be heedful? This is all part of meditation. You understand this, then you will know how to do it. First, we must decondition the heedless thinking via the mind sweeping method combined with metta to make the mind quiet or aware. Then cultivate anapanasati to stabilize it. So once the silent mind is stabilized, then you develop sati. And this sati, initially, if you do anapanasati, is going to take a while. You may do it many times if you are new. Yeah? And mindfulness of the in and out breath is called anapanasati. So the in and out breath will develop the sati. Then don't try to know. Then you will experience calmness. You will experience piti leading to sukham. Then you continue to relax and silent and aware. Then the breath become like long breath, like everything become clear, a lot of clarity, a lot of awareness within. And because of that, you develop a type of joy we call piti. Then if you continue to relax and silent, piti will develop into more refined and you experience sukham, which is blissfulness of mind. So the initial calmness, or what we call piti that you experience, is the initial stage of calm mind. Some call it the what they call meditative peace, the inner peace. First time you experience it, you like it because it is a type of joy, spiritual joy. And sometimes it's like it rupture inside your mind state. You feel very nice, very calm. Then as you continue, this long breath will develop until it becomes more and more quiet, more and more refined. Then during those phases, you will go through with a lot of understanding because that sati will make you aware of many things within the in-breath. One in-breath, there is a lot of phenomena within, a lot of happening within. Then similarly, one out breath is like very long. Then you experience long breath. Most people experience that first. Then when they start to stabilize that, they have to relax into it. Otherwise, it can go into continuous awareness and you will develop absorption. You may absorb into a state of mind like no thought. Continuous mindfulness. So this absorption, if you experience it, you can go through it, no problem. It will make you feel very calm, very peaceful, like completely without thought. It's just continuous awareness. Then you get absorbed into it. There is just an awareness only. But the mind is like, cannot move. It's completely in absorption. If you experience that, you will go through a transformation. Your mind like have rested very long and you recuperate very fast. Then during that time, I remember that type of energy is so nice, so soothing, so conducive. It makes you young. It is a type of energy that can maintain your youth. But this body being a body, finally you will go the way of nature. But during that time you appear young. That time I was still a student. Even in the university, I did Anapana study alone. So I realized that time I didn't really age. And even when I came out to work, after I worked for about, I think I graduated in 1979. Then I was 89. So 10 years later, that time I was about 35 years old, and I work in a university environment. But that time they look at me, I look like a student, 20 years old student. That time, my physical body didn't really age. But that time I can recuperate through Anapanasati, and I go into Anapanasati alone. But later part of, I think, 1988, coming to 1989, I revert back to daily mindfulness. I release out the anapanasati and go into daily mindfulness. That's how I finally had a breakthrough and came to understand all these things. Yeah. Initially, I was, I won't say it's trapped, I like anapanasati. And I was doing Anapanasati very, very often until I was able to develop all the calmness, the stillness, the absorption, everything. But then I realized, finally, that is not the answer. Yeah, I realized when I'm in those states of Apana Samadhi or absorption, it was so calm, so still, that the mental hindrance cannot move at all. It's like you are enlightened. You have a lot of metta, a lot of tranquility, a lot of stillness, a lot of calmness, and you don't want to talk. Most of the time you are in that state of calmness, absorption. And I did a lot of anapanasati at that time. But later on, when I met Ajayantra, he told me the real meditation is about awareness. So I started to investigate and reverse the whole cultivation. That's how I came to understand the true cultivation later on. Then when I released our anapanasati and developed daily mindfulness, I was able to silence my mind more and more. Then I realized this is a free mind that can be in the state of tranquility and stillness, without a conditioned state, without anapanasati or anything to hold it. I don't have to rely on any method or technique to be peaceful, to be calm. So that is how all this become possible. So when that anapanasati stabilize and you develop good mind state, you can try it out, find out more, then experience with it, no harm. At that time, I can go into absorption very fast. Within minutes, I will go in. Then, if I want to rest and recuperate after a tired day or after driving for certain hours, I recuperate very fast. Then, when I, especially after I drive for quite a long period, a few hours, then I will silence my mind, rest, meditate. Then I recover, I recuperate. Then I can continue. So that's how I experience all this. Then this long breath later on will become slow. It like slow down and become very quiet until the breathing, like no more breathing. Then you experience the silent mind. The subtle breathing, like there is no more breathing. And during that time, the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then, very likely, it's through my past. I will know what to do. I didn't really do other thing. I just silent everything and just stay with the subtle breathing. Continue to be silent until mind enters deep. That's how I came to know. Then I realize the mind that enters the deep is so different. Everything is like magnified. Then when I came out of it, I realized that sati is with me. Your mind has entered sati. Then everything I do is in sati. The kaya nupasana. Mindfulness of all action, all movement. Then I realized it becomes automatic. Kaya nupasana like automatic. I saw my movement. Body and mind move as one. All action, all movement as one. Then whatever I do, I move, I turn, specific phenomenal awareness, physically, I am one with it. Then my mind, when I hear things, is in sati awareness. Then when I see things, also specific phenomenal awareness is also in sati. Then I realize the smell, the taste, everything like slow down. But in actual fact, it's the normal pace of life, nothing slow down. But the sati make it appear like it's slow down and everything becomes clear to you. There is clarity. That's why the senses become different. Where mind enters sati, everything you experience is in sati. Then the time your mindfulness becomes very different. You are very sensitive. You can see a lot of things that you never see before. Even your subtle mental activity and movement, the subtle mental intention. Then whatever aggregates of mind, you can be there and then at the moment of feeling Vedana, at the moment of Sankara activity, at the moment of perception, at the moment of consciousness, you can be with it. Because that mind is so different, it's without thought, it's just aware. And that mind has entered sati. It's actually your meditative state. It's like the true mind throughout the day, meditating, just aware, aware. Everything is just aware. When you bend down, when you turn, you move, everything there is awareness, mindfulness. Body and mind move as one. That everything you do is in sati, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. Then you start to have this inner awareness that is very clear within. Then this awareness can see many things. It becomes very sensitive. That's how I can describe all this to you. Otherwise, no way. If I have not done it, I can't. That's why the real mindfulness for people to do until that stability is very rare. You cannot find. Okay, I'll go back to the notes, otherwise we won't finish. There's still a lot more to go. Maybe I finish the first part. Okay, you do anapanasati, then you develop until the mind enters sati. Here I didn't describe it. During that session, I don't have the time. I just say you use the trained mind to cultivate mindfulness of the four postures leading to sati. Sampajana means mindfulness and clear comprehension in daily life. Means I bypass everything already. I didn't explain the anapanasati in detail because I don't have time that time. So to stabilize your sati, you need to go through anapanasati if that is what you can do. And stabilize the silent mind until you become very quiet. Then don't go deep into it. Initially, you want to experience it, you can try, go deep into it and recuperate and experience all those energy that I told you, no problem. But later on, you must release out that absorption, what they call apana samadhi state. It's you release it out to normal awareness, upachara samadhi, and live life. Then develop mindfulness of four postures, leading to the daily mindfulness, which is sati sampajana. Then simultaneously, you also train your five spiritual faculty through puja. That time you must develop your faith, virya, and a good religious routine. This is what I taught you all, a good religious routine, so that you can continuously maintain your training, your cultivation, your mindfulness. If you do this, sati will come, mindfulness will come. Then you will become very different. You will know how to meditate on your own because This cultivation and understanding will transform you radically, not only character-wise, but personality-wise and understanding-wise. Then you will become a completely different person. You will have noble understanding of life, noble eightfold power unfold in you. You will have right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood, or the right way of living life. Then you will have the ability to apply the four right effort to constantly purify your thought and your mind. You will have mindfulness and heedfulness throughout the day. This is what will happen. And it will accumulate into samadhi. Then you will continuously develop understanding and wisdom after that. And this is how the Dhamma can unfold in you. Okay, this is the important summary of the cultivation that I want to share with you all today. And hopefully, this can become something useful for you to take home. Do you have any question? If no more question, then we can open up for general discussion. I think we stop there so that we can have time for what we call reporting of meditation, sharing, or asking questions. You can also comment on what we have shared today, whether you can understand and whether it's useful, and have you gone into the cultivation and training following what I explained or not. Well, this particular sharing is very good. It goes deeper into the mindfulness training and it explains the full range of cultivation. So, especially now when more and more Kayamita has the understanding, now you listen again. You follow this session sharing again. It has become so different. You will come to realize that the understanding is so different now. Thing has unfolded beautifully. Well, during the time when I share this, even when I did the transcript and sent out, I don't think many people understand or really appreciate what has been shared. And very few people go into it and read it. There are only a few Kayamita who gave me some feedback in the early days. Because these are Kayamita that actually can appreciate what I wrote. But they themselves also didn't go deep into it because they know this is beautiful, but they didn't go deep into it. Then there was this feedback which was very good. I think they went for retreat at other places. I think it must be at one of these retreats somewhere in Para or Taiping area. I think there are two centers. One of them is the more famous one, I think. The one that they used to go to, I forgot the name already. I forgot, I cannot remember the name. The more famous one, the more people there. I think the monk, is it Agachita or I forgot already? There were some monks there. So they were there for don't know how many days retreat. Then in the retreat, there were some foreigners, I think. Then there was a lady, a Westerner. She cannot understand what is going on. She was very confused. Then I think she was together with some of the Kayamita that had this book. They were also at a retreat. So what happened was, according to a few of these Kayamita, they told me they don't know what to advise her. They told her, you read this book. They gave him this book, this brown book, the essence, essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. And you know what happened? She went and read the first few pages, and you know, that thing appeared to him like so clear and so easy to understand. He said, this is what I did, he said. Why nobody describe like that? Then they ask, she asked them back, who is this Brother Teo? Then they told him, he is in PJ. I told her, sorry, she's in PJ. That's how it all started. So for people who are serious in looking for Dhamma, especially Westerner, if they read this book, they will have good understanding. They will develop the understanding much faster. So hopefully, yeah, more and more Kayamika can appreciate what has been shared and then go into it, go deep into it. It will benefit you all. Okay? So now we will open up for the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by question or any Dhamma discussion that you all might want to have. Dhamma in daily life or what you have heard the sharing today, how it has impacted upon you, or have it developed deeper understanding in you, and are you able to follow, or how you find it. We need your feedback, yeah, and sharing so that it will benefit more and more Kayamita. I believe by now a lot of your Kayamita can appreciate it so much deeper and very differently. Okay, we open it up.
First of all, I would like to take this opportunity to wish a very happy Teacher's Day, especially to Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo.
Yeah.
And I would like to share, before that, I would like to say thank you and also very grateful, Kan En, for all your time, your love, and patience in sharing the beautiful Dhamma. And I also would like to share, over the past, I think since 2018, since I joined.
About 3 years ago.
Yeah, thank you for being very patient with me.
Actually, and you learn very fast too. You have faith and you really try it out and you experience good results.
Yeah, and all the sharing that you have given me, I apply, I try.
Yeah.
Just like you share, just do. Yeah. I just do. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't.
But
when the condition arises, sometimes I understand.
Yeah, then so, you do, then it unfolds and you witness it. Then you have joy and it's really so beautiful. So many times it has happened to you. That's why your faith very strong. And it helps you solve a lot of your problem too.
Work
problem, career problem, relationship problem, and many other problems. This is Dhamma, beautiful. Yeah, you continue following this.
And over the past few years, these 3 years, I really, really appreciate the beautiful Dhamma. It's like what you have shared. It's something that I can actually learn and also apply in life,
to,
especially relationship.
Yeah, you can relate to, because it is life itself.
Yeah,
everything can actually be like witness and experience. Yeah. Then you can relate to all this because it really happened in life. It touches your heart and it transforms you. It changes you for the better and you become a different person, character-wise, personality-wise, you have transformed because you no longer get agitated, unhappy, reactive like before, fearful, worried. So all those things gone. Then the coming obstruction can never make you unhappy and miserable. And you know how to attend to them. You know how to confront them. And this is what Dhamma is all about. That's why it's so beautiful. True or not, Colin?
Yeah, very true. And I also like to also take this opportunity to also thank you to Mrs. Teo, especially her sharing during Mother's Day.
Yeah, when
And
Tuesday, was it Tuesday,
Mother's Day was a
Oh,
Sunday.
Mother's Day, Mother's Day,
Yeah,
Tuesday.
and I learned the new word Yejiang.
Yeah, Yejiang.
Yejiang, very very good.
Very good, yeah.
Yes, and flow and the chord. You know,
Yeah,
our
flow and
body and
chord.
mind is just a function. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah, yeah.
yeah. So sometimes when the condition arises, just
Yeah.
let it be. I accept it.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the other thing I also have learned is like what you explained, learning to play badminton.
Ah, yeah, become skill.
Meditation have to continue every day,
Yes.
diligent
Until
practice,
you are
practice,
very
practice.
consistent, until you become so skillful, then even you hang up your racket for 3 months, 6 months, at any time when you hold that racket, your stroke is still there. Your understanding of the game is still there. But whether your stamina is still there or not is another issue. But the stroke, the understanding will still be there. So that is the skill that you need to develop with mindfulness. Mindfulness, when it's stabilized, it becomes part of you. It like you become very graceful, very skillful. Then it's spontaneous. The mind has entered city. That's why those who play very well, whatever game, actually they are using sati. Their mind has entered sati. But they use it for games to develop stamina. When you are in sati, you use very little energy. You are very fast, very skillful, very alert, very sensitive. And you can play very well. But you have to remember, this is for game, not to develop wisdom. So if you apply it that way, it's still sati, but the Buddha don't call it samasati. Samasati is to develop wisdom through meditation. If you use it for stamina, for games, to be good at certain things, it's also useful for health or to develop exercise, training, qi, everything. It's still useful, but it is not apply to develop wisdom. That's why it's not called samasati. So Noble Eightfold Path Sati is called samasati because you use it to train yourself to be heedful. So heedfulness got two parts. Ever mindful, which is whoever who train themselves in any game or any skill, cooking or whatever, that is the first part. Then when you apply that samasati, the ever mindful mind, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha or Noble Eightfold Path cultivate, then it becomes heedfulness. It becomes samasati. So that is what meditation is all about. So if you use it for something else, then it doesn't fall under samasati and develop the wisdom. But it is also useful in life. Because when you have sati, you become skillful. You become very efficient. You become very sensitive. And you can play very well. You can do it very well. Your understanding becomes different. You are much better than normal people who has not developed the training until you are so skillful. Yeah. So that is the added explanation that I have to add on to. So thank you, Colin, for bringing out the situation. Yeah, you are right. You continue, It's like training yourself.
Yeah, it's something that I just realized that is something I have to do diligently. It's practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, continue.
And
develop it.
And on that note, I also would like to thank you all the fellow Kayamita who has been sharing on this platform.
Yes.
And that made me realize that although we are in different path, but we are on the same journey.
Correct.
So it helped me sometimes bring me back. Okay lah, I'm still in the right journey, which makes me feel good lah. You know, okay lah.
Right.
yeah. So thank you to all other fellow Kayamitas like Sister Bojeng, Sister Suyi, Sister Alicia, Brother Song, and many many more. Sister Pak Masuri.
Yeah.
And to me, Brother Teo, because I'm in construction line. To me, Brother Teo, you are like an engineer.
Yeah.
Develop and build people who wants to be a patriarch or bodhisattva, whoever who wants,
correct.
You are open
correct.
And you allow everyone to come in.
Yeah,
I think that
yeah,
is,
yeah.
I'm very thankful I have this
yeah.
opportunity
I
to
do.
Be able to meet up with you, to be able to learn from you.
Yeah,
so I'm very kan'en and also thank you very much. So I'm very happy Teacher's Day. Hope that may you be happy and healthy and safe and also your family as well throughout this time.
Yeah, thank you. So everybody also please try your very best to take care, stay at home, stay well, and be healthy. Then certain type of exercise you need to do, you do. Not that severe type. I think there are some video sharing where you develop your qi, you strengthen your immune system. Then Yangsheng, they call it TCM method, Yangsheng, Yangqi and all those things. These are very conducive for good health, to develop the immune system and all those things. Then for those who need medication, if you have COVID or what, I think Kayamita can help you because there are some very good TCM medicine that China has approved and used. Now Singapore also have approved and used. So we have shared it on the My Kayamita. So if you really want them, I think Kayamita can help you by telling you where you can get it. So do contact Kayamita. You can start off with contacting whoever you know. And from there, they will link you. They will link you. Very good, Colin Sadhu. You have a very good understanding and your sharing today is very good. You cover very well, very comprehensive. Sadhu to you.
Thank you, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
And also the last one is actually this platform has inspired me and I also aspire. Hopefully I have the condition to continue to
be
able to progress in my meditation.
Yes. And
so that I can connect to my true self.
True nature.
And
yes,
yeah, true nature. And understand
deeply.
Deeply and my purpose in life so that I can actually progress in my life.
Yes.
And also be one day support others as well.
When you take the bodhisattva vow, follow the yellow card, you will become beautiful, common. You will move. But this line will set the thing in motion. And that bodhi mind, once planted with understanding, strongly with faith, sincerity, and perseverance, will continue to nurture you life after life. And you can do it, no problem. With what you have gone through, you have the karmic inheritance, you have the affinity with the triple gem, and it can bring you very far. Sadhu to you.
Hopefully one day I can be able to progress further. I think I have a long way to go, but hopefully
day
continue to do
avoid
the foolish and develop wisdom. I think that is very important.
Very
meaningful.
The aspiration is very important, very meaningful. Invoke our merits for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish and the heedless. Meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that you can really progress along the path of Dhamma to understand all this beautiful teaching and sharing. Then be a blessing to all. Very good, Sadhu Karan. Today's sharing is very good. Yes. Anything else?
Thank you very much for all your patience and compassion and also your time.
So today's platform is good. Happened to be Teacher's Day. Remind us of gratitude. That joy, that understanding. Then we develop gratitude, thoughtfulness, respect, kan'en. So today, not only I receive from Kayamita the beautiful, what they call, bouquet of flower and fruits. I forgot to inform there are some fruits inside there too. Message from Kayamita. Maybe I let my daughter read out.
Amitabha Pananam, just we received two surprises at home today. I'll read out the messages on the card. The first one says to Brother and Mrs. Teo Kiang Kun, Happy Teacher's Day, Kan En for lighting up the path and showing us the way. The wisdom of your teaching will always be treasured from all Kayanamita. And then, okay, the second surprise was the message reads, Dear Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo, Happy Teacher's Day. May the blessings of the Triple Gems be with you and your family. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. With Metta always, Sunday Dhamma class.
So this Sunday Dhamma class is from Sister Lee, I think. Siu Gek, Agek, Miss Lee. So very kind of her too. So the Kayamita fund that sent this on behalf of all Kayamita encompasses all of us, Tuesday class, Thursday class, and whoever who is part of Kayamita ship, you get to partake in all this wholesomeness. So the purpose of having this Kayamita fund is to do all this. And at the same time, I think yesterday, Joyce contacted me and check with me whether I want to continue to donate to Anandagiri Education Fund. So this one, I told her, no problem, you proceed. That's why we use our Kayamita Fund to donate to this very wholesome activity, which is an education fund to Anandagiri, Achan Achalo's monastery. Or we call it a hermitage. They call it a hermitage. It's like a mini Switzerland there. Then the Thai people around there, they actually benefited from it and they like it. And our group was the pioneer. The first year when he decided to take over this way place and set up the monastery or hermitage, we were the first group that really visited and partake in the small papa because conditions were there. Then during that papa, there is also this suggestion of having an education fund. And that year we donated too. That's why we were the pioneer too. And we can see the joy and the smile in the local villages, their children. Just some of these Thai people, they are very poor. They can't afford to send their children for proper education and all those things. So what we have done was we pulled together all the donations. Then Acha Achalo was able to actually do quite a lot of we call it education fund to help out. So they sponsored many poor students and needy students, then some in the form of scholarship, some in the form of education material, and we fund their whatever education year, the need for that year. So over the years, it has actually developed, and that fund I think has become quite sizable. That's why Acha Achalo this year, maybe like last year, a bit difficult because COVID-19 pandemic, so not much fun around. So when Sister Joyce check with me, I said, no problem, go ahead. And he doesn't want to burden other Kayamita. That's why she don't want to open it up, because it's not so nice to constantly like ask for donation. So we also understand all this. That's why I said, don't worry, we will still play our role. We will donate the 2,000 as usual. And almost every year, we do that. So let us rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. These are very good, awesome parami, because each and every kayamita, we never know our past. So there may be certain life or certain condition where you need support for your education. Yeah. Because in our modern society, without education, it's very difficult for us to come out of the poverty cycle. And education is very important. That's why this is a very wholesome, meritorious action. And we rejoice because it's done to an appropriate group with the appropriate condition. And we have seen it. Yes, there were a few occasions where we were there for the Katina, and they arranged for the student to come, the parents, to actually participate in the offering of the education fund ceremony. And you can see the joy in them, the gratitude, and the understanding that they had. And even the children, they were so cute, so naive, and so beautiful, so sincere. So, and you can do this, you develop joy, you develop understanding. So this is what Kayamita Fund can actually do. And this merit goes to all Kayamitas. That's why you are part of the Kayamita Sheet. That's why Kayamita Fund is part of the what they call fund set up to do wholesomeness, to do generosity, dana parami. Then all of the material that I use for our sharing, like our recording, our whatever whiteboard. Nowadays, we don't use so much of the whiteboard. Last time we used the writing material. Then whatever that we actually use, like printing of Dhamma book, transcript book, all this, we use Kayamita Fund. Only Kayamita Fund can do this offering. So this gift of truth, based on all the sharing that my nature gave, only Kayamita Fund can partake. You may be very wealthy and you want to do, but you can't, because we only allow Kayamita to do it. That's why when people ask me, can they donate? I say, can. You donate to Kayamita Fund, where that is the best avenue for wholesomeness, for parami, and it will help every Kayamitas. And over the years, through voluntary donation, we have more than enough money to fund our book printing, our activity, and we also do a lot of wholesomeness every year, our spiritual trip. Website maintenance, we pay for the yearly maintenance subscription, and also our spiritual trip, our retreat, and other people's retreat whom we know, we also donate. Then we also donate to WAVE. WAVE is an organization like NGO, but they have sincere people who every year go all over the places to donate to all the temples. Every Katina, they do it. And they also print Dhamma book for free distribution. And they also sponsor and help many temples all over the world, especially Thailand, and also some in overseas, apart from Thailand. You can see them when you receive their annual newsletter. Their annual newsletter is quite complete and quite beautiful. Then there are also the wholesomeness and activity. Wherever there is condition, opportunity, or affinity, we will make the offering and donation. But you have to be careful. I am put responsible for this fund, so I have to make sure whatever we donate to are authentic. And the people behind it are trustworthy before we do any of this. offering or donation. Normally, Kayamita who are close to me or committee members and all those who are helping out, volunteering and all things, they will off and on give me suggestions, even from Miss Lee. Sometimes they also have their building of temple, I think one of their Sisyong or what I forgot. Then sometimes we also make offering to allocation to the Wuping Jingse, the place where Miss Lee is. Miss Lee is so kind. Every time he donate back, she donate back because I think they also have enough funds. But it's good. It's very wholesome. And we are also very grateful to Miss Lee for allowing us to use her Wuping Jingse to share a lot of important Mahayana suttas during the early years. So now we have to wait for maybe the MCO to be over, for condition to be more conducive before we can go back and use that place. That place is in a way quite interesting, Wuping Jingse. Yeah, it's a vihara, a Mahayana vihara, I think started off by Poyen Zhanghuo, the famous late Poyen Zhanghuo. He is also the direct disciple of Xu Yun Lao He Sang. They are contemporaries of Master Xuan Hua Liao. So these are great monks, great cultivators. So the condition there is very unique. Whenever I go there, the Guanyin there, the great things nature, they are so beautiful. And every time I go there, the sharing is very different. That's how the Heart Sutta will come about. That's how all the Mahayana teaching, the Six Patria Black Home Sutta, Hui Neng, Liu Chu Hui Neng, and all those things come about. Then we also share the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Than many other suttas. And I like that place because that place is without aircon. So it's like testing people who attend. Yeah, a lot of people are comfortable with aircon condition or good way place with proper condition. Like you go at JBA Sunday, or aircon, or you go and listen to them or talk. Nowadays, most of the places have aircon. But Wuping Jingse still, nature's ventilation and air. Maybe there are some fan turning. But we find it very conducive. But this is where you test yourself. You don't always look for comfort. Which means under whatever condition we have developed the Dhamma sharing, we can attend the class. Then what we like there is the nature there very beautiful. So it rains a lot when we do the sharing. And the lightning there is, I tell you, very, very different. And sometimes the lightning like coincide with the sharing. When there is real good Dhamma sharing, the rejoicing is so loud and the thunder is like non-stop. So there were a lot of beautiful things. So we should actually rejoice in all this awesomeness. It has helped Kayamita a lot over the years. So all these are the beautiful understanding and sharing that we can develop.
Brother Tio, this is Puchay.
Yeah, Puchay. Amitofo.
Amitofo to Brother Tio, Mrs. Tio, and all Kayamitas. Happy Teacher's Day to Brother Tio and Mrs. Tio.
Yeah.
May you a happy and healthy life to expound the Dhamma to all sentient beings.
Sadhu.
Now in this very, very life. Sadhu. Want to actually there are so many things to share, but due to the time constraint.
Never mind. You continue, don't worry. We give you time.
I we need to be more compassionate people, you know, never mind. But I will share a bit first. Firstly is about the book, the book.
Yeah.
The book, you know.
Yes.
The book.
The essential Dhamma of Lord
Buddha. Yes, yes, the essential Dhamma book. I mean, there's a lot of things that is being shared today that
which
Brother Teo, no teacher can say this kind of thing, you know, because can say this kind of thing, yes. Because I've attended, the reason I say this is because I've attended some retreat, and the teacher will not say this kind of thing, you know.
They cannot teach this way.
Yes. So I know when Brother Teo say this, I really rejoice because this is what I experienced as well. Later I will share one of the experience that happened recently. And then I also like to thank all the Kayamitas for creating all the good courses and condition, you know, like Brother Teo said, all the books, wonderful, how should I say, it's amazing books, you know,
that is
so good that you read already, you can become a better person, you know,
able
to develop the cultivation correctly, you know, without wasting time, you know, it's like fast forward, your remote control, you fast forward, no? Fast forward a few steps, you know, you reach there, you know, So it's amazing. I mean, I have not seen books that can help me to fast forward, you know.
Yeah, you can't. This kind of teaching is very, very rare. Very rare.
So you follow it closely, you fast forward.
You don't go through the Yan Wang Lu.
Yan Wang Lu, correct. So
you
this is
a... to detour and lost yourself, then don't know what to do.
Yes, correct. So... the other thing I want to say is the silent mind, mind. Huh?
Yes, very important. Now,
The silent mind. I mean, this is not taught in any classes from other teachers about this silent mind. For me, it tells me a lot of useful insights, you know, into the silent mind. Just you telling me silent mind and I meditate, and I see what I observe in the silent mind, in the awareness. And then by you saying that in the classes, it really is like, how should I say it? It really like, you know, it's like, it's amazing, you know, like whatever you say and whatever I say, matches, you know, it's because a perfect match, you know.
You can relate to it, and it's a perfect match because you also did it.
That's correct.
This kind of sharing and teaching, unless you have stabilized your understanding, you cannot share. For you, even if you have done it, if you have not heard what I share, you also cannot share. It will take many years later to do it.
Yes, correct. That's why I, Brother Teo, can earn my deepest respect and gratitude, you know, for this. Being able to fast forward. That's why I said,
without
you telling me all these things, I cannot fast forward because I be struggling to understand what is going on as well because no teachers say this. If no teachers say this and then I have this, what is going on?
Who is going to believe you? Understand?
Yes, exactly.
It is not written in the book. They haven't heard it from any monks or teacher.
Correct. Brother Teo, I can say this very firmly because I went for this retreat and I have this mindfulness, the 3-step 1-power, and then I tell the teacher this what I see. Then the teacher tell me something like, this is what the teacher say. This kind of experience you experience when you do exercise. You know, like you exercise, you feel relaxed and, you know, nothing to do with mindfulness, sati, you know. They cannot understand this, you know. So that's the explanation I got. That's the explanation I got, you know. So I said, like that. But I tell you, it's not law because I feel my body very light. I'm like floating. I'm like a body and mind as one, you know. That kind of thing. So it's not like I go jogging. I mean, I jog before. It's not that kind of a feeling. It's totally different, you know. Yes.
Because the silent mind transform you, and when you are transformed, you realize you do not think and react and stir your mind like before. You are no longer heedless, emotional, agitated, easily become emotional. You have become so different because you understand the form and mind is so clear to you. These yes. are the conditions that condition your mundane mind to stir. And because you lack wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you cannot be with the moment. You want things your way. And they cannot see all this. They cannot understand all this. That's why they cannot reverse the training. They continue with the heedless thinking, the habitual tendency. And they sometimes go to retreat. They develop a lot of calmness, peacefulness, but no use. Well, this is a conditioned state. This is not real daily mindfulness, sati, leading to heedfulness that awaken you, that develop the wisdom. So that thing they cannot see, they cannot understand. So every time they say, go for retreat, meditate. Then they say, do vipassana, look, do rising falling, do anapanasati, or do any of all those things. So they are not clear about the whole cultivation, and most of it is thought-based. That's why I realized over the years of sharing, it's very difficult to teach. Because what you understand is the complete opposite of what normal Buddhists do. The normally accepted type of meditation and teaching are so different. That's why when I started, it was not easy. Not until some of the Kayamita starts to appreciate and understand, then only they develop the faith. Initially, it takes a while. Well, a lot of people, they are so familiar with the old way, like the so-called vipassana, like, but luckily over the years, initially worse, they were so attached to jhana, concentration, and they dare to even tell you, no jhana, no enlightenment. But now it seems everything has fallen back to, they realize what I share, daily mindfulness, sati, awareness, and all those things. And the sharing has become different. Well, I told them, if what you learn in the early years is really the authentic teaching, then it should have more and more enlightened means. And you can see progress and changes in your transformation. But why are you not seeing all this? Then for those who have faith in what I share over the years, and they really do it, they saw the result. But they are more quiet type. They don't really like to share it in the open because they keep it to themselves. But over the last 1 over years, I think, the sharing has become very different. A lot of people understand what this thing is and they have progressed. They are willing to share. And even Miss Lee also, after the many years, I think the last few years, she starts to have the appreciation and understanding. Then she changed, she transformed, and she developed understanding. That's why nowadays she is different. She is willing to share. She is more calm, more attentive to all this understanding. So you can see the changes in people, the transformation. And for you, it's a good example where you started so new and you are so raw. And yet you progress so fast because you have faith and you follow everything. And you can witness all this happening. Later on, as all this unfolds, I can tell you, you all will be the one that help my nature to explain all this teaching and understanding. But you yourself transform. You yourself develop the ability to have that Dhamma. And when you yourself transform inwardly, personality-wise, character-wise, you have the understanding. And you can live like you are no longer heedless like before. You have become heedful, so different. You have transformed. And you have so much virtue, kindness, goodness. And the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path is with you. And your sati, your mindfulness is so stable. And most of the time, you are in that state of awareness or meditative state. You are living from your true mind, silent mind. That is what the Buddhist meditation is all about. The Buddha Dharma is all about. That's why it's very beautiful. Yeah. So Pocheng, sadhu to you for your very good sharing to compliment all of
Sadhu to you. Actually, I have a few more things to say. It's like
can continue. No, I will not have the what they call fellowship. We after you share, we end.
Brother, what you say is true, lah. Because I able to witness, in my meditation and then the transformation internally.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of faith in your teaching, I also like to give faith and confidence to all Khayamitas, that you can do it also, not to doubt about it, So no doubt about it. And then I also want to thank Miss Lee, Miss Sister Lee. You always say Miss Lee, Sister Lee, from the Wu Jingping Sir, right? For all the books that is being, not say books, but all the Dharma talks that Brother Teo have the condition to do it there. So all the beautiful, wonderful books, is so enriching my life. And I'm very sure all sentient beings in the future as well.
Yes.
So I have a lot of gratitude for that. And then also for Brother Kocklun for the faith in our sharing and the message. And a great motivation for him, walk the path. Although, like he said, some days good, some days bad, but he has not lost his faith. He's still in the good direction, he's in the right path, And sadhu to him to have this kind of unwavering faith, in the Dharma, in the true Dharma.
Yeah.
Okay. Radio, so I want to share is the meditation. Radio, you mentioned just now, everything you mentioned today, is kind of like, it's like I'm going to repeat it to all again, because this is what happened.
You can relate to it, but this is what happened to you when you do the meditation. Yeah.
Yes, when you do it correctly, the Dharma just unfolds itself. Yeah. In the silent mind, you must have the silent mind.
Yes.
But sometimes I was just wondering, I live my life in daily mindfulness, where is my awareness? Where is my awareness, right? But then the awareness will come out by itself, it doesn't
That one is a nature, it's not yours. It's that
nature
manifest, but that nature is just awareness. And that is the first thing to come out, because it's actually from the oneness, the source.
Yes, yes.
The beginning, the original nature, but neither being moved, the true nature. That's why all these words come. Then the oneness nature is the source, the origin of all things. From there, everything arises. So what arises first is the awareness nature. The awareness nature can only come out if there is a form and mind. You understand? That's why there must be a form and mind, like a human being or a living being, to develop the condition for us to connect to the true mind. Then the thing that you will realize is the first thing that come out from that oneness, like the Heart Sutta book, you remember, the four circle? The first thing that come out is the pure awareness. So behind that is the source, the oneness nature, or you can call it the unconditioned Nibbana. Then the one that come out, the first thing to come out is the awareness nature, just that nature. That is your true mind, your silent mind. 本性, 真心. That's why 无念就是真心. Without thought, you are already aware. That is your true mind. So from that pure awareness, the mundane mind come about. Samsara come about. So the world of consciousness. So all this manifests. Then you will understand how you create. How from that nature, it created the mundane mind. Then the mundane mind stirred and created the phenomenal world of form and consciousness. That's how we come out into life, into existence. Then to reverse it, through meditation, when we understand how the mind come out and get entangled through wrong view, delusion, and ignorance, So we develop wisdom to reverse all this. So when we can see form, the unreality of form, then we can see beyond form. Then we go into mind. When we can see mind, the unreality of mind because of the universal characteristic, because of the dwelling, dependent orientation, then we see the unreality of mind. That's why the five aggregate of form where mind is empty. Then we free. Then the phenomenal world cease to have any power over you. That's why you return everything to the mundane mind. Then the mundane mind, when you cease it, means you go back to the true mind. That's how you cultivate. From the true mind, you develop mindfulness, awareness, you observe and see. Then you awaken, you insight the phenomena. Then you understand the conditioned dhamma. Then when you silent, from the pure awareness, you completely silent, you realize nibbana, then you realize the unconditioned. So from the pure awareness, you can realize both the unconditioned and the conditioned dhamma. Then from there, you leave. That's why that wisdom, that understanding will enable you to connect to the form and mind and leave. And this is the whole picture of the cultivation. And how many people understand? Hardly. I haven't seen this teaching being described or explained before. You don't believe, you go and check all the books. Yeah. That's why this is very beautiful. That's why I say, over time, as you all mature and progress, you all will be the what they call witness to this teaching and this understanding. And this is so beautiful. And it can be explained. Nothing esoteric. Nothing very mystical about the Mahayana teaching. You don't need to like believe anything. Can be realized. Each by themselves, the wise one. That's why the Buddha say, this Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So this is most beautiful. Po Cheng, thank you for the condition to explain all this. Sadhu to you. You continue. Sadhu.
Brother Teo, so this silent mind that I was talking about, like what you explained, the four circles, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. This silent mind, the awareness.
This is the awareness nature.
Yes, the awareness nature, correct. So what I was saying is, I asked the question because, you see, when I'm going through the daily life, right? So when I need the silent mind, the awareness nature, will it come pop up for me, you know? So it was a test for me. I mean, I don't say test, but there's a condition that happened that this silent mind awareness pop up, you know, pop up and show me and unfold the Dharma for me to see, you know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In fact, the awareness nature is always there.
Correct.
The sun ever shining.
Yes. For us, Brother Teo, yours, because your mind, mundane mind collapse, so it's mundane, ever shining. For us, it's like we need to cultivate, right?
We need to stabilize it until very clear. Understand that true mind, the awareness nature, so clearly. Then from there, you realize everything arises. All the thought, all the mundane aggregates of mind, the thinking, everything, the stirring, the reaction, all from there. That's how the form and mind, mundane mind, create all this creation through consciousness, through the senses. It all started with the pure awareness. The awareness is the pure consciousness. That the energy that you need to create the manifestation of consciousness, the senses, the respective 18 sense drive. So all this understanding through silent mind, awareness-based meditation, you can observe them, you can see them. Then they will unfold, then you will understand. If I don't explain, it's going to be very difficult for people to understand. Oh, Miss Lee want to share something. Let us let Miss Lee come in. Miss Lee, you can come in. Yeah.
Yeah, Brother Joe, happy Teacher's Day.
Yeah,
and Teacher's Day, I think I have to share this.
Yes.
You see, thank you, Po Cheng, for bringing up this condition. I actually enjoy very much lately for all the sharing, and because it actually carry a lot of meanings. And for this, that the awareness nature, I find that is very precious, and I really treasure a lot. You see, when it is MCO, usually the family, when they stay far away, they cannot meet together.
Yeah.
My neighbor used to gather every Friday night for the whole family to meet together, and they will talk from the whole night until the next morning, 5 a.m. And my room actually is facing them.
Oh, no wonder.
Then in my habitual tendency, you see, but I will have dislike raised up because
aversion, the slight aversion.
This awareness nature rise very fast, faster than my. So once it arise, I clearly heard what their conversation.
Yeah.
I clearly heard the conversation.
Aware. Yeah, you can be aware. Very clear.
It's noisy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't give you disturbance.
Yeah.
I start to appreciate their harmony.
Yeah.
Their family values.
Yeah.
A lot of things that actually enhance the whole mind process.
Yeah, sadhu.
So from there, you can really sleep. Even they are talking, it doesn't disturb you.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem. But you can sleep until the next morning when you wake up, they're still talking.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I experienced. And time again, it happened. But the second time, you see different things. You see the how they are talking. In fact, you see that how they are talking and how actually they are no listener because all of them are talking together.
Sadhu, when you have that understanding, my nature rejoices. Sadhu to you, because the awareness nature is not a person, it's not a being. There is nobody listening. But the awareness nature can be aware. Then what happened is, if he wants to know of whatever that has arisen, which is actually the mundane mind, it can, because it's aware of what is happening. So when it's aware, he wants to know, it can know. If it doesn't want to know, it don't have to know. But the problem is, the mundane mind very quickly get entangled with memory, with the views, opinion, and conditioning. That's why initially you saw the aversion, the dislike. Then you have the training because you are sensitive. You know whenever you are not peaceful and unhappy, the evil roots are there. Means the mundane mind has stirred, although very subtle, but you felt it. That's why you understand. Then when you start to develop the understanding to perceive it with wholesomeness, to accept the reality for what it is, then you develop the positive understanding. They are just they are. They also have their good, important understanding because they love each other so sincerely. And there is harmony, like you say. Then they really discuss it and all things. But when the second time you perceive it, you realize there is nobody listening. That is the penetrating one. Yeah, the awareness nature is just a nature. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It cannot take over the mundane mind. But the mundane mind is so near and close to that nature that most people doesn't know that the pure awareness nature exists. They get themselves entangled because they very fast, the egoic mind, took over the role of the mundane mind, and then they become part of the conversation. Then they start to comment. Why are these people so inconsiderate? Yeah? Discuss until early morning of the day, 5 a.m. or whatever. So all this is from the mundane mind. But the true mind got no words. No word, no concept, nothing. It's just aware. That's why it has no problem. That nature just aware. It want to know, it know. It doesn't want to know, it can just switch off and sleep. No problem. That is what meditation is all about. So today, you bring out something which is very useful. Even Ingby is starting to understand what it is. Yeah. So the awareness nature need to be stabilized, very stable. So from the way you describe it, you start to see, Ms. Lee, subtle to you, but you have not stabilized it. That's why all this movement is still there. But never mind. It's part and parcel of the whole cultivation. That's why I say when you all break free all this, you will be the witness of what I share. You know, what I share is from my nature. It's not from book. No book write about it. Nobody has the understanding to describe it. Even today's sharing, the brown book, it's not easy for people to develop the understanding, not to say able to share. To understand also is not easy. But for those who cultivate, they know this is beautiful. This is wonderful. Like Po Cheng say, he attended so many retreats and sharing. Nobody can describe it in that way. To that precise understanding, summarized. And so direct to the point, to the teaching. You can't find. So all this is starting to become very beautiful and very meaningful. So once again, thank you, Sister Gek, and also Po Cheng and Kok Lun, and whoever who has shared. So today, Teacher's Day, really Teacher's Day. Everybody teaches something. And Kayamita also learn, and later they also become teachers. Okay, basically you continue.
Yes, I think Po Cheng continue because I have finished mine. But there one thing to ask about Bratio. On the line meditations, it comes to one stage that you can feel the breath, like just a short breath that it ended. And during that time, you can't feel any breathing at all.
Okay.
So after that, the mind becomes very clear.
Yeah. So very, what do you
do? Very clear. And sometimes inside there is certain understanding. Sometimes they come with a stanza. But the thing is, inside that moment, you can understand very well.
Yeah. The Dhamma arise.
Yeah, but when you wake up.
Alicia also used to experience that. Brother Song. When you wake up, you cannot remember, or you remember very little.
Yes.
Because the understanding, once it's there with the nature. It's not memory. Don't try to remember.
You can only see it after you respond to things when the condition arise. Then you know, the understanding is already there.
That's why I told you the wisdom is like that. If it's there, it's there. No need to remember. But when things arise, you will know what to do. Na cai shi zhi hui. That's what Guang Qing Lao He Shang mentioned. People ask him, 什么是智慧? What is wisdom? You know how he answered? No? Wisdom is so beautiful, isn't it? Sometimes when it has arisen, the person still doesn't know. He who cultivates and went through that transformation, also doesn't know that there is wisdom. But he say, when he encounters situation, 碰到事情的时候, 他懂得怎样去处理, 那就是智慧. You know how to attend to it and resolve it amicably and not stir your mind and get caught. That is wisdom. Wisdom is an understanding that can free and liberate your mind. That is wisdom. That's why wisdom is not a knowledge. And what you don't remember is, when you say you do the lying down meditation, you listen to this, it will help you. Your breath becomes very subtle, like no more breath. It's like doing anapanasati. That's why I say, until so subtle, like no more breathing. Then don't worry. The mind is entering sati. That's why you say there is so much clarity. But at that time, don't try to know. If you try to know, then that movement of sankhara, which is very fine and very subtle, will start to interfere. That's why stabilize that understanding and let the mind enter sati. Then when there is just the awareness nature, there is no movement of thought at all. Then that time you understand what tranquility is, what stillness is. This is of a free mind, yes. Not a conditioned state.
Yes.
And you will after that become very different. Then you understand what the awareness nature is. What is that true mind, zhen xing? What is that true nature within? The nature is just awareness, nothing. But that is the first to come out, pure awareness. That true nature, the true mind, the silent mind, the pure awareness before the stirring, before the arising of the mundane mind. That's why the fifth patriarch told Hui Ning, that Hui Ning understood, he said, how amazing that our nature is already perfect. Doesn't need anything. There is unconditioned. It's no word, no duality. How amazing all Dhamma arise from that nature. But from there, the mundane mind arise, the stirring arise. The mundane mind that created the phenomenal world. Everything arise, existence arise. So mundane mind is associated with memory, associated with what they call accumulated experiences. That's why memory is part and parcel of the mundane mind. And mundane mind is thought, limited, not awareness. That's why thought is respond to memory. From there, everything arise. So all this teaching will become more and more clear, more and more clear, more and more clear. That's why I say in the next retreat come, a lot of you will transform again and become very different. Then the deeper Dhamma, the more refined cultivation and practice, many of you can understand. And you all can really progress, transform, and become very different Dhamma practitioners. And during that time, I tell you, hardly anybody can really match your understanding. Whatever they say is all mainly thought-based. That's why this is going to happen soon. And like I used to say, my nature rejoices. Not only I can do it, not only I can experience it. Now, Kalyanamitta is going through and experiencing all this. And more of this will happen because from the sharing, the reporting, you will know. Like your case, Mr. E, you have not done the lying down meditation to that stage. You can never describe it to me. And I don't have the condition to explain all this to you. So it's just like anapanasati. When you reach the subtle breathing until like no breathing, that time the mind want to enter sati. So don't do anything. Just let it enter sati. Silence everything and maintain awareness. The four support. Then finally trust. When the trust comes, when you locate the gateway, you will move like Po Cheng last time, earlier on he described. Then just relax, silent. Trust that nature to do. So that trust part will come later in your training, Miss Lee. Then once you understand the trust, you will understand much, much more. Then a lot of the things that you are still like not so sure or the gray area, it will all like sink in and it will all tie up. That's why it becomes one complete beautiful picture and teaching and understanding. But you need to go through the gateway. And after the gateway, you still got a long way to go, a lot of cultivation. Even Po Cheng still need to go on a lot of transformation. Because my nature since 1989, after the mundane mind collapse, I have went into that nature for so long. So now it's already 30 over years, 32 years already. Because 2021, 1989. So 32 years, that is a long training. That's why that nature is so different now. What it understands is way beyond what other people can. You remember the early days I used to say?
Yeah.
there are so many things that my nature understand. Like the Buddha say, the handful of leaf that I am teaching you is just the one that is conducive for awakening. But if you go the Bodhisattva way, there are so much more. That's why the whole forest leaf. There are so many more things that you can develop understanding and perfection, like the Wu Liang Yi Jing, the sharing. You have to actually go through life, experience life extensively in order to understand all appearances, all capacity of living being, all type of nature of living being. So all this understanding will unfold, but you need to be patient. You need to have the what they call faith, then sincerely cultivate. That's why patient endurance is perseverance, is understanding. So very good, Miss Lee, salute to you. So today, listen to this sharing again. It will help you a lot.
Yes.
It will help Ng Bi Deo also, and many other Kayamitas. So beautiful, Sadhu.
Thank you, Rajo.
Yeah, Sadhu.
See the flowers that sent by on behalf of the class, Kalamita.
Yeah. Sadhu. Yeah, we receive.
Sorry, there's an incoming call. Okay.
Go ahead.
It's also initiated by Manyan.
Oh, Sadhu. Manyan.
She helped to order.
Oh, Sadhu. Yeah, rejoice, You can answer your call first, please. In the meantime, we get Po Cheng to continue. Po Cheng?
Hello, Brother Teo. Brother Teo, I wanted to share that incident that happened early May.
Ah, yes.
You know, it's very similar. I don't know, maybe don't say similar, because I don't know exactly what happened to the other story, but my story. Okay. What happened is, I was talking about this silent mind, right? Uh-huh. And I was, you know, in my mind, the question popped up like, how do I live my life in the daily life using this silent mind, you know?
Yeah.
So this incident kind of awakened me, you know. I mean, when it happens, Bratio, when it happens, everything unfolds by itself. Awareness, nature just manifests, you know.
Yeah, and show it
what happened, yeah, show it to me. So what happened is, I was in the kitchen doing preparation, you know. I was trying to cook the rice, put in the rice cooker, right? Then you know, usually when I do my cooking, I don't need to think, my mind is all silent. But the day that an incident happened, my elbow hit a metal plate. The metal plate fell. Wow, I tell you, the crashing onto my toe is like a moment of awakening. The awareness nature just manifests and show everything to me, you know. I see the specific phenomena, and I also have the direct seeing the mental phenomena, and everything is like remote control, you know.
Automatic.
Slow down, but actually it's not slow down, it happened very quickly, but everything I see
but it appears like a slow motion.
Yes,
it's clear to you.
Yes.
So that is what awareness, nature is all about.
Yes, it's so amazing how this thing show it to you, in slow motion, step by step, what went on, you know, what happened, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you will not react, will not.
Just
that nature, so beautiful.
Correct. So I remember one story that Roberto said that the person got awakened when the pouring of the water.
Xu Yun, Lao He Sang. Yes, when the hot water pour and suddenly burn the hand, it just naturally released the cup. So when that cup released, he was full of awareness, but at that time he has no thought. That's why the awareness nature saw. And upon that cracking, just that cracking, not the word, no, that
that phenomena that happened, that nature awakened. His mind like become impoverished, suddenly like no mind. And so he realized Nibbana. The whole
yes.
thing shrink and like there is no mind. Then after he come out of it, he understand everything. That is what
yes. enlightenment is. Yes. Called. So this is what happened when I was the plate fell, you know,
yeah.
fell onto when I my elbow hit it and it
yeah.
fell and then hit onto my leg, right? My
yeah.
toe, right.
Yeah.
That awareness, awakening, you know, it's
yes.
no word on, I have to explain to you, you know.
Yeah,
it's
no yeah.
word, because it's a silent mind that your form and mind is connected to it. You
yeah.
can see everything unfolding.
Yes.
Yeah,
and you can see the whole unfolding. So beautiful.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes, yes, correct. It's like, oh, you know, you see when it happened, huh? Your mind is like in recording, you know, that is so
yeah,
down.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
You know, it just play to you, but
yeah.
but everything happened, bang,
like,
bang, everything, bang, 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 you know.
Yeah, it's like witnessing the whole thing.
Yeah. Yes.
That
but the event is very, very, very fast. It happened,
yeah.
it's all just boom, you know,
yeah.
and then just
yeah.
click onto it. You know?
But that silent awareness nature can see the whole thing so clearly,
yes.
where there was
yes.
no talk.
And yes, correct.
Nature, when all these things happen, it's like it slows down for you to see. But it's like you cannot describe it. But
yes.
it's beyond thought, beyond word. It's that nature that understands. It just
yes.
awakens and it knows.
Correct.
This is
correct.
So beautiful.
Yes, yes. So this
understanding.
Yes, yes. But for me now, I see this more clearly
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And because it's not the first time I see already, so I'm able to like when it happened, you just like that, a snap of finger, you can
yeah.
see it, you know, in the
Good.
Silent mind.
Yes.
So that's why the question came to me is like when I live my daily life, when I see this, well, the awareness nature just shine forth, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this
yeah.
is what it says, it shines forth and then
yeah.
it manifests and you can see it in this manner, you know, unfolding,
yeah.
you know.
And there is clarity everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The mind just know, you know.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
thing unfold, you know.
Yeah. Very
yes.
good.
It is very interesting and amazing to me, la. Even
yeah.
though it's not the first time, it's
correct.
I mean, because the incident is always, I mean, the experience is always different things, you know, different experience of so-called activity, la, you know.
Yeah.
Because this is a plate falling, you know, pong, you know,
yeah,
onto
yeah,
your
yeah.
leg. So, brother, the other part of it, I didn't say yet, it's a sensation of it, you know,
yeah,
that you
yeah,
can
yeah.
see is a sensation, the
yeah,
body,
it's
a body, it's not
that,
the mind, you know.
That thing without words on, you can
yes,
see
correct.
The music. Then you realize your mundane mind didn't stir anymore.
Yes.
You didn't even say, or whatever. No,
yes.
it's just that awareness, and you have joy, you laugh, because...
Yes.
This is what is happening. This is reality. And he understands. That's why
yes.
last time I told you I was developing this daily mindfulness until it's so stable, so mindful. Then suddenly I walk past an area where there is a metal bar. I think construction metal bar hidden somewhere. And I didn't know. And my leg, the upper part, the knee there, suddenly hit against it. No. And it was really something like very painful. Normal people cannot take it. But my nature just aware and accept the reality and just didn't even or what. But it knows it's very painful for normal people. But there was joy. And I just accept that reality. That's why you become very different. That transformation, you can witness it. You no longer have the mundane mind that curse and swear and get angry and emotional over things and stir the thought to say who is the stupid fellow who do all this and never he will never do that anymore. But the awareness, the understanding is so clear. The reality is, and it's meant for you to see, for you to understand, for you to like pass the test. So all this will unfold. That's why what you are going through is beautiful. It's good. Sadhu to you,
Yes, right. Exactly. This is like a good experience for me to go through it, you know, the whole thing, without agitation, you know, without agitation, and you can witness, this kind of experience as you can witness it, and then you know that this can, you can resonate with the story that it's very it's very similar kind of incident.
It spontaneously happened.
Yes, correct. It's a spontaneous thing, and it happens so fast. You know,
happened and he transformed.
Yes, correct.
That is the power of the silent mind. When you are aware and silent within, without the egoic mind, the wrong view, the ego, and all those things, then this thing can happen. That's an innate condition. That's why you need to silence your mind until very, very stable. Then the awareness nature keep on letting you understand, and wisdom keep on unfolding. And whatever happened also will create conditions for you to understand deeper. So all this unfolding will happen. Sadhu, very good.
Hey, Brother Teo, this is not just the end, you know. After that, because I was preparing the dinner, right? After that, I go to shower. Then I come back. I want to see what happened to my toe, right? So I put my feet onto the stool to rest, you know, see whether got any blue bag, and then see whether got any more problem or not, or whether my nail still around. So when I do that, just when I put my feet on the stool to rest on it, I tell you something happened. The awareness went into that toe, manifest, you know.
Yeah.
And it showed to me, the pulsation, you know.
Yeah. The vibration but without word one.
Yeah, pulsation.
Without word. Yeah.
Yeah, like X-ray like that. I think it want to tell me, that my because of that metal hit onto my leg, right? So the wind burst.
You can see them.
Yes. The wind burst, The wind burst, therefore, the awareness nature show it to me, this wind burst, and then very soon I see the blue black coming out. So it's very amazing, isn't it? That the silent mind can actually witness all this awareness nature, that what is going on in your body.
That nature become very sensitive and very different. That's for you to use to live life. You have to live from there. You live from there, you can see all the specific phenomenal awareness. Then you want to know, you can know. You don't want to know, never mind. You will shut off. Then it can also have spacious awareness without a center. It can be one with all things. So all this, you will start to learn. You will start to develop understanding. That's why the awareness nature has to be stabilized. And you are lucky because you detected the gateway earlier on. And you have actually gone in for quite a while. That's why all this can manifest and happen. Sadhu, very good. Anything else?
Sadhu. I think we should end
today's session. We are very late. So you write down and we continue the next session. Sadhu.